Pop Spotting 89.
Tuesday, July 12th, 2011.
Twisted, I do some dirt too, but I ain't never put my gun on nobody who wasn't in the game.
A man must have a code.
Oh, no doubt.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's TV Tuesday.
That's right. Now, last week we talked about Justified, a show that we had never heard about and we're just getting started with it. It's still on the air. Well, this week I thought we'd talk about a show that it seems everybody's watched and we are but a season and a few episodes away from finishing.
It's The Wire.
The Wire.
It's a crime drama that ran on HBO for five seasons from 2002 to 2008, 60 episodes in total. It's set in Baltimore, Maryland, and it was very celebrated. But the reason that I was interested in watching it is because there was a show on NBC in the late 80s, early 90s called Homicide: Life on the Street,
right,
which was written by the same people, and there were a lot of the same people involved in both shows.
Right. It was created and written by David Simon. He was actually a writer for the Baltimore Sun. He was behind Homicide: Life on the Street. I remember that NBC was giving him guff for it being a little too dark, a little too, you know, unpleasant or unflattering for the city
dark?
Of Baltimore.
It's about murder.
Right.
It's in the title.
Well, of course, it was a natural for him to take his writing skill, his understanding of the political system, the crime world in Baltimore, and take it to premium cable and create The Wire on HBO. Of course, we don't have HBO, but thanks to the wonder of DVDs, we have been burning our way through this show. So for the uninitiated, what do you get with The Wire? What are we watching?
You get a cop show, but seen through the eyes of a lot of different groups of people. You see it through the eyes of the police. You see it through the eyes of drug dealers and criminals. You see it through the eyes of politicians all at one time. And this entire cast is made up of all of these different people. And some of the good guys are really not very pleasant people, and some of the bad guys are more smart and more savvy than some of the police.
Absolutely. What I love about the show is that it's not about two separate yet equally important groups. It's about everybody involved in this entire world, this fully fleshed out, fully diverse, very interesting and unpredictable and flawed world in Baltimore. But of course, I think in any American city, you can see a lot of everyday life, of urban life for sure. In The Wire, you've got politicians, you've got journalists, you've got teachers, you've got the workers on the dock for the drug dealers, you have the kingpins, you have the soldiers, you have the pushers on the street, and yes, you have the police, you have the detectives, you have the commanders, and you have the police commissioner. I mean, every level of this world is explored, and unlike any other cop show, it's not like you meet a bad guy and he's locked up and you're ready for the next bad guy the next week. It is one long story. It is a serial. If you thought Lost was a serial, this is something even more drawn out. And I guess some people might have no patience for it, but I think it's certainly worth it.
This is the closest thing to a Dickens novel you'll see on TV. Just layers upon layers of characters. There have to be, all told in the history of the series, like 80 different characters coming in and out. Some die, some come in later on, some we just never see again after a little while. And there are all different facets to each character, their personal lives and the lives they lead in front of their colleagues. Just so many different things happening at once that I actually don't think that I've caught everything on this viewing, and we might have to go back and watch it
again. We're definitely going to watch that again. I mean, Wire is certainly one of those shows. I mean, for some shows, when you say ensemble cast, you're talking maybe 12 characters, maybe six central ones that you know really well. But yeah, 80, I think, is about right, and every single one of them. I mean, the realism of The Wire is what I really admire. It's what keeps me engaged, is that it's so believable that unlike any other show where the bad guys are bad guys and they do bad things and the good guys are, you know, trying to do the right thing, you've got good guys that do the wrong thing and bad guys that do the right thing, and they're conflicted. And because they're painted so thoroughly, you really bring within yourself your understanding of these characters, so that when there's something that's shocking or uncomfortable or a challenge or a cause of concern or worry or fear for these characters, you know them so well that you feel it along with them. I mean, I think the realism is something that cannot be understated as far as The Wire goes. It's really an exploration of institutional dysfunction. It's the police structure that might not work. It's the political structure that might not work. It's the education system that might not work. In fact, one of the great things about The Wire, in fact, one of the things that might make what is otherwise essentially like an Odyssey-length story understandable, make it possible to process it, is that each season does have a theme. It does sort of have a specific focus as far as an aspect of life in Baltimore.
In season one, we're on the street with drug dealers and their soldiers and their muscle, and we're at the same time, we're following the police who are trying to catch the drug dealers. In season two, it focuses more on how the drugs are coming in through the docks and how that affects the police and their investigation. In season three, we see the city government and the bureaucracy behind the city government, and that continues a little bit into season four, but the what we're seeing right now in season four that we're watching is the school system and how what goes on in schools affects the drug trade as well. And in season five, we haven't seen any of season five yet, but that really focuses on journalism and cover-ups and the media.
And in fact, that's the season I'm looking forward to perhaps the most, because I am a sucker for any sort of journalism story, journalism movie, journalism show. Season four is where we are at. I would say that of the seasons, it's perhaps one of the more challenging of the ones that we have seen, in part maybe because as parents we might feel things a little more intensely or feel a little more of that kind of sense of hopelessness or dread, which does permeate perhaps every season of the show.
It is most pronounced in this season for me because of the kids and to see the way these kids have to deal with everyday life. It's really hard for me to watch. And one of the characters that we actually came to know back in season one is a teacher in season four, and he has a lot to go through too. And I think it's those two things that make this season kind of challenging for me.
Right. Well, it's still, though, it is fantastic television. And for sure, we are moving into different focuses for the show. We are moving into different chapters, but you are following the same people or essentially the same people. What is really, I think, daring about the show is that some of the structures that you become comfortable with in it change radically. I mean, they might all be in a task force, and the next thing you know, boom, you know, a strike of the mayor's pen, and they're all dispersed to the wind and in different places, different assignments, different lives. And in fact, between seasons, time passes, and part of the enjoyment of the show is to try to figure out, hey, wait a minute, how did this guy end up here when we last saw him, he was somewhere else?
And there isn't any explanation, which to me is the most realistic thing of all. I like to see when characters are allowed to just evolve and we're not really given a reason why.
And these are, again, all human, all three-dimensional, fully fleshed out characters, people that you can really commiserate with or understand with or sympathize with. And I think you could probably pick two or three people in the show who you feel represent your outlook or your mindset and view in the show. And especially, one of the things that this show is especially celebrated for is they used mostly unknown actors. In fact, most of the people who you will see in The Wire, you might see them all over the place now, but this show essentially made their careers. I won't go as far as to say they were unknowns, but they were character actors, sort of bit players, and here they were given the opportunity to star, to shine, and I think they all rise to the occasion.
I do. I especially like Dominic West as Detective Jimmy McNulty, because Jimmy McNulty is a really complicated guy. He makes a lot of bad decisions, but he's very good at his job, and he's very passionate about his job. For instance, when his job is turned upside down and he ends up somewhere else, he still finds a way to get back to his friends and back to his units so that he can continue his work.
Right. You know, actually, I think that's one thing that I should note is that, yes, McNulty's character, if any of the characters on the show is the central character, I mean, is the anchor point that we're following, I would say it is McNulty. But again, like everybody else, I love that he's really flawed. I mean, not just sort of flawed for the sake of a good story, but flawed in such a familiar way that it's uncomfortable at times to watch. I mean, he's not the best husband. He's not the best cop, and he's not the best person. He does some horrible things even when he's trying to do the right thing. But yeah, McNulty, perhaps as one of the more central characters, is a perfect example of what The Wire does well. An actor who really made their bones here because they immediately found their stride, their strength, and became the characters that you're watching on TV, to the point where it almost feels like you're watching a documentary about Baltimore. And again, I think that goes back to the writing, to the journalist background of the creator of the show. McNulty Faulty is great. Do you have, I mean, there's so many to choose from, 80 at least, but do you have favorite characters in the series of the 4.5 seasons we've watched?
My favorites are probably Stringer Bell and Omar.
Those are bad guys.
They
are
bad guys.
Those are the drug trade people.
But think about it. Stringer Bell is a businessman. He went to business school and he struggles to get legit at one point. And we think it's because it's going to help him with his business. It's going to help him clean his money. But I think it's for more personal reasons than that. I think he really wants to change his life. And Omar, as my friend Matt put most succinctly, he is a gay gangster who robs drug dealers. He's the most interesting character. He's scary, he's menacing, he's smart, he's funny, he's the most interesting criminal on TV.
I would agree with that. Omar is fantastic, and I think it is important to stress that there are shows where you kind of have anti-heroes, or there are shows that do focus on the point of view of the criminals. I mean, we're not saying that that's what The Wire does. Again, it is such a wide lens and a full world that you're watching, but it does occur to me that the cops in this show are doing their job the hard way. I mean, they're grinding through it. One of the things that the show gives you is how hard work, police work is, and sometimes it is a lot of waiting around, sometimes it is a lot of paperwork, and sometimes it is all for nothing. It can be completely lost cause after weeks and weeks of work. On the other hand, though, I feel the criminals really are given the opportunity to shine as strategists, as much smarter than criminals and drug dealers that you see in almost any other show. And they are so human in the sense that when there's issues of loyalty, when there's issues of family, when there's issues not just related to pushing drugs, but even deeper than that, those are well depicted as well. So I can see how you might like some of the bad guys. I do feel kind of a kinship with a number of the police officers. There's the elder in the sort of the operation, the guy who actually runs The Wire or the surveillance setup that they do for their police work, a Lester Freeman.
Yeah.
He's played by Clark Peters. I will admit that when you first meet him, you're thinking, this guy should have been Morgan Freeman, or he's trying to be Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to him, and he is kind of an anchor in terms of the fact that a lot of these other police officers, given their personal turmoil or their professional turmoil, come and go or fly off the handle, but he's kind of a rock. So I just kind of admire his character quite a bit, and I think that especially here in season 4, the story arc throughout the show that you see with the young cop, Roland Prez, who you mentioned becomes a teacher, his arc is actually one of the more unexpected, because for the most part he's positioned as someone you might think of as a red shirt or as really a fringe character, but becomes more and more central. So he's played by Jim True Frost. I'm not sure if he's been in anything else, but I'm enjoying, well, especially here in season 4, what he's being allowed to do.
He was in an episode of Fringe.
All right. Yeah,
with
so
Lance
he's a fringe character with, yeah, Lance Reddick. Now, Lance Reddick is in the show.
He is, and he's another one of my favorite characters because he embodies all the professionalism and sense of duty that you think of when you think of the police.
Well, I like Cedric. I like Lance Reddick's character because he is the one of the characters who's trying to stay above it all. He's really trying to be the one to be the noble one. But there are still missteps. There are still mistakes. And his character in particular has a wife, for example. And in any other cop show, you have the wife or the husband who's the left at home, either is afraid that they're going to get killed or always nagging at them to be home. We mentioned McNulty has a wife that, is not really well cared for here. I like that in this show, even those side characters become important and are depicted in the role that they play in the lives of these characters. And it was Cedric's wife, for example, that in a way is what actually causes him to kind of come down or give a little bit on his principles. It's not his job, it's not his ambition at work, but he wants to do the right thing for his wife, so he allows things to happen that perhaps he wouldn't normally have happened. So,
yeah.
Again, I mean, the complexity and the depth of these characters is so fantastic. It might sound overwhelming, but once you're watching it, you're going to love really being right there with all of them.
Speaking again of Fringe, Andre Royo, who played the cab driver who got Olivia to the other side, he plays a character called Bubbles, and if there's a totem pole on The Wire, Bubbles would be at the bottom.
Absolutely. And he's one of the funnier characters, but he has heart. He has motivations. He has weaknesses and Achilles heels that were, of course, easily corrupted. But he's great in the sense that, and every character on the show gets an opportunity to sort of narrate or explain the world around them from their point of view, whether it's a couple of school children walking down the street to the drug kingpin in one of his secret secret meetings. They are allowed to really express how they see the world, and they are so different. I mean, there's so many different but yet completely valid ways to see this universe that's functioning here. But I would say the Bubbles' perspective on the world is one of the more entertaining, is one that I like to check in with from time to time. And over the four seasons, he's gone from being a drug addict who's easily corrupted and dismissed by everyone, to kind of maturing and evolving his world.
He's had to look out for himself most of the time, but now he's looking at the world around him and taking interest in the people around him.
Right, he's trying to help somebody, he's trying to do the right thing, and it's not sort of in the blind side, sort of treacly Hallmark movie sort of way. I mean, there's a lot of missteps along the way, but I'm really enjoying that evolution as well. We've talked a lot about the male characters on this show, and before people get the sense that it's a big testosterone fest, which I suppose it is to some extent. I mean, a police department might be that, or politics might be that, but there are a lot of strong female characters on The Wire, too.
One of the most interesting is Detective Kima Greggs, played by Sonia Sohn, and Kima is a tough chick, and she's really hard to peg, because she sort of has a double life. She has a life at work and a life at home, and she's two different, very different people at home and at work, and it's interesting to see the balance.
Right, and she makes decisions that affect her professional life. She makes decisions that affect her personal life. And with all of these characters, when they make some of these decisions, you're yelling at the screen. I like Kima quite a bit. I think from the legal side of the world, you have the character of the liaison, Rhonda Perlman, played by Deidre Lovejoy.
Yeah.
I mean, she seems like she's straight out of Law and Order, but again, I think pretty solid. And I like that she has to keep all of these people in line. I mean, she has to pretty much always set up the boundaries, even though it's essentially going to be up to our characters to break through them. And I will confess that for all of these gritty, tough, hard characters that have been on The Wire, one of my favorites was a female character that wasn't on the show for very long. She was, I think, in season two at the port, you know, sort of that port season, was played by Amy Ryan.
From The Office.
Right. She's in The Office. But here on this show, of all of the characters out of these 80, perhaps 100 of characters that you see, she's the innocent that you get to know the best. I mean, we've just got through saying that everybody on this show has a dark side, has mistakes, has flaws, and that is true for her as well. But in this world that they operate in, there are genuine innocents, whether it's a random person on the street or a child. I think that her character, Beattie Russell, was the most that we got to know. And when she gets sucked into this world with McNulty, with the cops, with the labor disputes on the port and the smugglers and all of that going on, I really felt tense, because it was almost like watching a little kitten or a little lamb wander into this world. I don't know if that was intentional. I don't know if, in fact, her character should have been perhaps more complex, but there was just something striking about her performance that she was a cop, she was really trying to do the right thing, but she seemed the most normal, the most corruptible, and the most vulnerable on the show.
She reminded me of Marge Gunderson.
Ah, the cop from Fargo.
Right.
Oh, I can see that, actually. Now you've completely set that character in a different place in my head. I might have to watch season two over again. Now, it's hard to say that there are any characters you dislike. I think they're all, even the ones that are awful, awful characters, awful people, are compelling, but is there anybody that you could use a little less of on the show?
Probably Tommy Carsetti, the politician. He's like a child. He's both petulant and irritating, and I know how he fits into the story, but I wish there were somebody that had a little bit more of a spine.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I mean, I do believe that the political side of the show is well done. I think that his bald and completely ruthless sort of ambition is completely realistic and believable to me as far as politicians go. I will agree that there's something about him that stands out. In a way, he strikes me as a Aaron Sorkin character that's wandered into The Wire. I mean, sometimes he talks so fast about, poll numbers and strategies and what's the right thing to do, and then he goes up on a podium and gives a stirring speech to the black people in the congregation, and you want to hear people go amen, and you're like, wow, I mean, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
But even his character I kind of like. I think basically we have yet to find a weak point in The Wire. It is a solid show straight up. I will agree that this fourth season has been perhaps one of the hardest ones, but again, I can't even say that it's been the worst, just kind of one of the more tougher ones to process. And certainly we are not saying anything new, heaping all of this praise on The Wire as we we said, many people call it the best show on television. That includes Time Magazine, Chicago Tribune, the San Francisco Chronicle, of course, Entertainment Weekly, although they would like anything, The Guardian, even, I mean, non-American, you know, consumers of media think The Wire is great. Even Barack Obama, when he was asked what his favorite show was, he said The Wire. Oh. So we could talk about this show forever and ever, and we would love to talk about this show with you. If you are a fan who's finished the show and you just can't resist giving us a little heads up or a little tease as to what we have to look forward to, if you're just starting the show and want to talk about it, please don't hesitate to get in touch.
Leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net, or call our voicemail at 815-310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting. Now, if you are having trouble keeping up with our daily show, if iTunes is slowing you down or getting in your way, we wanted to let you know that you can also hear our show on demand with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher has news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no storage wasted.
It's available for your iPhone, your Android phone, your web OS phone, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Just go to Stitcher.com or check out your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
And we'll be back tomorrow with another Hawaii-focused show. After we told you what you should put in your tummy, now we're going to tell you what to put in your ears.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thank you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. Pa'alam.
Pa'alam.
That's for you, Stella.
Woo. Yeah.